This is the moment many wait for.
The most entertaining.
A man of wisdom. A man of experience, Dave.
The most informative.
To bring light to a dark subject. To bring positivity to a negative world.
The incredible Paul Moyer.
Moyer out.
Man of experience, Dave.
I hear you. I hear you, man. Oh, we took out the loser part, too. Thanks.
Yeah, that's right. If Paul makes a request, we do our best to follow through on that. He is with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is our buddy Paul Moyer. How are you, man?
Fantastic, man. Exciting time. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always good to have you. We look forward to this conversation, and we can hit on all kinds of things with you. But let's start with what's going on here in the building we're currently sitting in, the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. And we opened the show talking about them taking down some of the pictures, the banners that they had during of the Pete Carroll era, some of Sherman, some of Cam Chancellor, Russell Wilson. I think one might have had John in the celebration with Paul Allen with a trophy, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
It was also another one that was taken down. What's your reaction to that, Paul?
I think it's good. First of all, it's a practice facility. It's not CenturyLink. You know, CenturyLink, you walk in there, there's a picture of me. Yeah, there's a picture of Dave. There's history.
No.
Yeah, there are. You just got to walk around the whole stadium, Dave. it's the one I think you were.
It's in the men's room.
It is. It's in the back stall. There's some
stall.
Drawings on it, too, and a lot of funny numbers on there, phone numbers, but that's another story. No, but that's history, and people want that history, and it's for the fans. This is not for the fans. The fans aren't inside the building. This is for the players. And, you know, a new president, the White House, they change everything, the decor and pictures. You know, I walked in my office when I became the president of this company. I didn't keep their pictures in my office. That's how I look at it. This is Mike McDonald's era now. And, you know, this is I think it's an exciting time. And it's been over 10 years since they've been to the Super Bowl. And while Pete was there, you reflect on that and you say, here's our culture. We have new values. And I don't know if new values, different values. And I think it's good. You know, a blank wall there. Maybe if you're a player on that team, you want pictures of what's happening now. Not to keep looking at, you know, Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson, who are no longer on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I walked through it, Paul, just to get the experience. And the first place I went is over to where, you know, I was drafted or make sure they didn't take my plaque down. That's all I care about. It's like 3x8. But no, I mean, I thought everything is pretty much intact and it totally makes sense. And Bob just pointed out, which I had totally forgotten, like there was even a picture of Schneider, right? He was on the podium or whatever. So yeah, I feel like that. Hey, Bob just asked me a very interesting question. I had a hard time answering it. What would be the position group that you would be most shocked by if John Schneider with the 16th pick, which one would be? Because, you know, Witherspoon last year, I mean, it wasn't like they really needed corners, right? And they took Witherspoon. But what position do you think would be a big surprise?
Probably running back. We've got two running backs here. You're talking like out of all of our draft picks or like in the first couple of rounds?
Well, I was talking about they have seven total picks as we sit, and assuming they don't acquire any more, they just use those seven, which it didn't have to be the first pick. Certainly running back would be really surprising there. But just period, like if you feel like we're stocked up at this position, yet they used one of their picks on that position, which one would be most surprising?
Probably a field goal kicker.
Should have thrown that in when I asked Dave
they're
the question.
Football
I told Dave eliminate kicker and punter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Obviously. So
yeah. You knew that was my default setting.
Yeah. So. And I answered the same as you, Paul. I said running back would probably be the one that I would look at and go, man, you spent a second-round pick 2 years in a row on running backs. You still have Kenny McIntosh there. Certainly you need depth, but I think I'd be a little surprised if they used one of their draft picks to add depth to that spot. I think they'd go with
the veteran. You're right. Yeah, you're at that point. You're cutting one of those three, one of those four players. You're probably not keeping four running backs, and so that would be my biggest surprise, because every other position, you do need depth, right? I mean, you have multiple corners playing, you have multiple safeties, linebackers. You're usually only playing one running back at a time. It's like a quarterback. So, that would be my biggest surprise.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've looked at safety. I'm getting ready to do a little preview. We've just been kind of going through. I think we've done inside backers, edge rushers, done running backs, and kind of looking at safeties right now, because that's probably a position of need there. How do you view what they have going on there at that position with those? You know, you got a couple of free agents that you signed there, but mostly I don't know. Seems like it needs a little bit more depth.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. I think we have depth. Julian Love. I think of Kobe Bryant now as a safety, and I think also what they're going to do with the safeties. These are all cover guys. So I look at Julian Love. I look at Kobe Bryant. I look at Rayshon Jenkins, Wallace, Jarek Reed. All these guys can cover. Yeah, there's five of them right there. And I'm not saying they wouldn't go get a safety, because I don't think the starting safeties that's going to play out. I mean, I don't think anything is set. I think Julian Love obviously has got the best shot to start from the year he had. So, I think with seven, the nice thing about this team right now is we don't have to fill that many positions. I think obviously getting Tomlinson, at guard was big. He is big too. Was important, because now you're not so stressed out going into the draft. But we still got to add a guard or in a center possibly for depth there. But other than that, man, I mean, let's just go find the best players.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, our starters are pretty well set.
You know, the other guy, real quick, Bob, is Jonathan Sutherland. And I don't remember.
Yeah, like him.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember all of the vets just raving about him. He didn't get a whole bunch of chances last year, but he's a one-year guy at safety. So, yeah, they get five or six choices there.
One thing the Seahawks did that we talked about, Paul, that I thought was pretty cool. It's a ceremonial thing, and we just saw the Mariners do it with Nelson Cruz, is they brought John Ryan back and signed him to a one-day deal so that he could retire as a Seahawk. And I was trying to imagine myself as a player and what that would mean to me. Again, it's ceremonial. There's, no money or anything like that. But just the idea that, that acknowledgement from an organization saying, we want to celebrate you. You meant a ton to this organization. I thought that was really cool. And we talked about, maybe some players who were some former players that you'd think would be candidates for that. And the first name that Dave and I both thought of, obviously, is Richard Sherman, because he didn't end his career in Seattle. He was, I think, Tampa was his last stop. But anybody come to mind for you? Outside of your, you retired as a Seahawk, so you're fine.
I did. What about Dave Wyman?
Well, I brought up Dave Wyman. Yeah, I brought up Wyman.
I mean, that was big. Look, my era, you stuck for the most part with the same team. Matter of fact, Plan B free agency and full free agency hadn't even started. Because Dave, you were Plan B free agent, right?
Right.
They were a little bit. Not to explain all that, take too much time. But so now team players do play on multiple teams. I mean, we just didn't have that back then. You were mostly a lifer for teams, unless you were cut by somebody and somebody said, "Hey, I need an old veteran along the way." Now, look, I think a lot of the guys. I would like to see Matt Hasselbeck probably, majority of his career here. Certainly the era with the Super Bowls with, Bobby Wagner, that would be a big one. I think that would probably happen at some point, but who knows? Maybe he plays another 15 years with the Redskins or not the Commanders. I'm there. These changing these names really hard for us guys. But I'm also like, I don't know. I mean, again, not to punter John Ryan. I think that's cool and all, but to retire, you're retired. No one cares. new people. It's. I don't know. Baseball has it's a little different, because you do go in with a hat, don't you? Whereas football, you just go in. I don't know if you represent a team, anyways. But
you talk about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Hall of Fame stuff. you know, so the retirement stuff, I'm like, just retire. You know, I just
Where's the sentimental Paul? I thought I was going to get sentimental Paul.
Football's not sentimental. You know, baseball's sentimental. Golf's sentimental. Football is not sentimental. Just okay. go.
Just Move go. On. You're done. Yeah,
I remember I signed my whatever it was to get all the benefits and everything like
retirement
that.
Retirement papers?
Yeah, so I got the retirement document, and then I went down to one of those little post places that's like, you know, they have like they sell things, pencils and erasers, oh. and then they also have a mailbox there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
And there was a guy behind, and I handed it to him, and I go, this is my NFL retirement party. And he looked at me, and he was like, whatever, dude. That was it.
You know,
That was my retirement.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of fanfare for us back then. Mine was also unique in that when I retired, I went right into coaching. I mean, I was already a part of the team. I'm in coaching. I remember Nesby Glasgow, you know, God rest his soul, passed away a couple years ago. He gave me a plaque, and it was really nice that, you know, he gave it to me, not the Seahawks.
he went out and got it himself?
I think all the players, all the defensive backs and the coach or coach and defensive back coaches presented it to me, but it wasn't like a big team thing. I'm, you know, they're probably saying it was time for you to retire. Let's move on too. But yeah, the times are different. I get it. And John was a big part of that cool run. So, you know, I think it's more special for him than it is probably the fans though.
By the way, Paul was coaching before he became a coach.
Yeah. He was telling you what to do.
He was coaching out there. We knew he was going to be a coach.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, you mentioned one player that you would love that would fall to, and you sent us a little text. I'm thinking
people that I'm feeding you stuff. You just, you know, I'm just stuff I'm thinking about.
I just said one little thing. That's all.
Okay.
At number 16, right?
Kept 16, there's just a guy, and look, he was former University of Washington guy. He's over at, you know, finished at UCLA, and that's that. Laiatu Latu, I think is how you say his first name.
We think alike. Laiatu Latu. Yes. I think he's the best pass rusher in the entire draft.
And it's more than that, right? It's more than – we have pass rush. We have guys who can come off the edge. We do. I mean, they're athletic. Man, it's his motor. It's his motor, and it certainly is his quickness. The guy's 6'5", 260 pounds as well. I just love watching him play football. He flies in there. He's reckless with his body. He runs downfield and chases people. That's a game or a philosophy changer on your team if you can get him. I pray nobody in our division gets him, because he's going to play a long time if he stays healthy. It's just the attitude about him. I think he's the best edge rusher, you know, I saw too, and not that I've seen every guy. I just want a guy like him with that physical ability. He doesn't seem like a prima donna. He's not just an edge rusher. He's a complete football player. I watched him drop in coverage. I watched him have an interception. Yeah. I'm like, this guy can do everything. And I'm kind of shocked he's not higher up the board than I've seen. But I the reason why I think there's a chance is I think Penix is going to be in the top 15. He may move into the top 10. You know, his pro day was so good. And the more you watch him in the pocket, you start looking at this guy. Go, he's got a special arm. And what they have done, the value running, you know, I mean, the Jaden Daniel guy, he's a good player. If he was at Arizona State or went to University of Washington and Penix went to LSU, I believe Penix is, you know, in the top five because of his arm and stuff. But Penix can throw from the pocket. And I think the value in quarterbacks, and I think I think there's probably five guy quarterbacks drafted before the Seahawks do. So there's a chance you get a stud superstar impact player. Now, I like some other guys too. You know, I like Fatanu as well. I mean, I think that is a need, and I think he's a special player. But is it
Leatu? Leatu.
Thank you. I just, that, you know, those too many vowels there for me. But he's a special, special, special player. And if the Hawks had that opportunity, boy, I'd be all, be all over that one.
So, Paul, if the Hawks, let's say they don't trade back or up, they're just sitting there at 16, and Penix is still there, and Leatu is still there, and Fautanu is there, who do you take? Who does GM Paul Moyer take from those three?
I'm taking Leatu. Think he's, you know, the Penix one. The challenge I have with the Penix is he's not going to beat out my quarterbacks right now. I struggle with that. And I'm going to draft a guy in the first round who's really not going to play. And, you know, again, I think Geno's a good quarterback. I think Hal has some upside. You know, so that person, that quarterback at 16, he's got to be superior to what we currently have. There's other teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. And that's my only reason. And I think, you know, Leatu is – he's a guy that 5-6 years from now you go, oh, why did we, I can't believe we passed up on that guy. Now, look, he retired from football at one point from University of Washington with a neck injury. There's probably got to be a concern or two there. And I think that's what hurt Penix, which I still don't understand. The guy got hurt 3 years ago. Why are we still talking about this? And ligaments are fatter than my thumb. They heal. They heal very well. You know, the experts say that's the reason he's dropping, so be it. But, yeah, Latu's, he's special.
Yeah, I described him as being a ghost. Like, he has so many – he's always in motion. He's got – like, it's hard for offensive linemen to find a target to block him. And, yeah, I just love that guy. But let's go to – real quick, because we're almost out of time, Paul. How about the Mariners? They're going to the World Series, apparently.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We're back, man. We are – back. I actually hate that I'm such a fan, because I go, my feeling on the Mariners sometimes are the exact people I hate that do that to the Seahawks. You know, I see all the ex, you know, posts out there and following fans that are so emotional week to week. And I'm emotional with my
You're
group
one of them.
Guys. Yeah. We're day to day. We're pitch to pitch. It's unbelievable. But it is amazing how a few wins just makes you feel so much better. And I with the opportunity that we get Brash and Wu and Santos back, it looks like they're not that far away. You know, maybe a couple of them are a few weeks out. Maybe Santos is probably the farthest, maybe a month out. I just the energy, and this is why I'm so jacked up right now about it. If Texas had to run the course, Houston ran away and were six games back with their current record, man, you're going, oh, boy, I'm not feeling as good. But we're a game and a half back. We got Colorado coming up, and then we get to play Texas. And I'm like, I think the guys are going to be juiced for this, and they're going to get to feel what being in that race is early on in the season. So I'm hopeful. Again, I don't know how great we are yet, but I like that the pitching's back on and we're starting to do some things with the bat. We knew at some point that would turn that around. And the beauty is we're in the hunt. You know, no one ran away from us through this terrible stretch.
Yeah, and they cleaned the defense up, which was really annoying to start the year, just some of what was happening, just not playing clean baseball. So, you know, two of the three things that they were struggling offensively, defensively, and their pitching. And two of those three have really straightened out. The pitching is where we thought it would be. The defense is definitely better. And the offense, we're starting to see it. You know, Julio with back-to-back games, two hits apiece.
Yeah.
Still hasn't hit the home run, but he squared it up yesterday. A couple of doubles, some great defensive plays by him. Garver with his first home run. You're just starting to see some guys come along. And hopefully this is a nice launching pad, because you know, that thin air of Colorado, that could certainly work for them. I'm just hoping it doesn't work against them. You know, the pitching, I think they got to take two of these three, right, Paul? I look at Colorado and go, okay,
oh, yeah.
if one guy's going to get touched up out there, the likely candidate is the first guy going, Hancock, because he's got the least amount of experience. He's pitching in that thin air. Maybe the Rockies get to him. I'm not saying they will, but the other two, I feel like you have to win. You got to win with Gilbert and Castillo.
No question. Look, Julio's going to have a run of 10, 12 games where he hits, you know, 5, 6 home runs. He's just too talented. It's going to happen. I think what some we don't also realize is there was at one point we had not played a team with a losing record. Two of them were in first place. That we had a couple of them were Cincinnati, were 9-6. I think somebody else was 10-6. The worst team we had played at that point had 500 record, and that was Toronto, and you know they're talented. So we obviously had a tough stretch. And so to come off of this sweep here of Cincinnati, who's a good team, and to go into Colorado, a group that we should win 2 out of 3, we're pretty battle-tested right now, and have the opportunity to come out of this road trip in first place. Yeah, I'm back, man. We're going to the series until I talk to you all next week during the draft.
The way Bob was talking to you there, it's almost like he's in on the text thread.
Oh, you
guys have a little secret thing going on behind my back?
You know, it wouldn't be a secret if we told you, Dave.
We got secret handshakes. We got code words. It's great. It's absolutely a good time. Paul, always great stuff. We appreciate it, man. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk again next week.
All right, appreciate it. Tell John Schneider get Latu for me.
We'll do.
I'm sure I'll take that into consideration. Thanks, Paul. All right, there you go. There's Paul Moyer with us each and every week. If you missed any of that conversation, it'll be on the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show. Coming up, which defensive players will take the biggest leap forward under Mike Macdonald? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob, live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We'll be talking to John Schneider coming up at 4 o'clock for the John Schneider Show here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. So make sure you stay tuned for that. You guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Did you hear the story about Leonard Williams? And his agents were negotiating his deal, and I was reading the story. I think I sent it last night. But anyway, he was hearing, yeah, let's go with the Seahawks. Ah, it's not looking so good. That's looking good. He was on vacation in Japan.
Yeah, I didn't know that until
I didn't know that either. and then he flew. He interrupted his vacation in Japan and flew 9 hours, I guess, to come out here and sign it. And here he is in this cut explaining how the whole contract got done.
Yeah, I was in Japan at the time, and it was interesting because I'm obviously like trying to enjoy my vacation and things like that, but I was also in free agency. So it was almost like it was almost hard to enjoy my vacation because I'm like so involved in like what's going on in free agency, like what's going to happen, like where am I going to end up, all those things. And then, you know, I'm getting a call from my agents at one point. They're thinking that it's not going to be Seattle. And then they call me back, you know, the next morning or even the same day. And they're like, okay, it might be Seattle. So it's like kind of like it was like a funny limbo thing going on. But then when I finally found out that it was going to be Seattle and we all agreed to terms and things like that, I was excited. I found out at like 10 a.m. while I was in Japan. And then I got on a flight at 4:30 from Japan and landed here the next morning at like 10 a.m.
Yeah. You think he rode coach?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he signed. How many millions did I sign for?
Yeah.
Let's go first class.
Or maybe just a private jet. I don't know if they can go that far.
Now, if that were Ryan Roland Smith, he would have said, oh, I'll take the coach one. I'll upgrade to business class.
Yeah. Oh, three stops? No big deal. Yeah.
He's got tens of millions sitting on the table, just needs to sign the deal. He's looking for the best budget flight he can get.
See, Ryan Roland Smith is somebody, if you gave him $1 billion, he would not turn weird.
No.
He would still be frugal.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's just part of who he is. But that's pretty interesting that he's, you know, I could imagine the stress of that. You're trying to enjoy yourself on vacation somewhere. Meanwhile, it's hanging in the back of your head like, you know, where am I going to play? Am I going to get the deal I'm hoping for? Is it going to be with a team I'm hoping for? And, you know, even with him one day, he said, yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be Seattle. All right, now it looks like it could be Seattle. And then it gets done, and he I'm not even messing around. I'm jumping on a plane. I'm signing that deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to hear what he says about playing for Mike Macdonald, because, and we have the clip here, but that was a guy that we're like, okay, that's the one person that he identified that was like, he is the right, we know for sure, in other words, we know for sure that he is the right mixture for Mike Macdonald and his defense. So I'll be very curious to see how they use him, because again, he's one of those guys that can line up anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be a defensive end edge rusher, basically, is how that's been throughout his career. And he's lined up in every other spot, whether it's over a guard, center, tackle. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. The other thing is, he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But if he becomes like a Pro Bowler, like a guy who's putting up numbers, I mean, he's had good numbers, and he's been like amazing, taking on double teams and things like that. But like, if he all of a sudden becomes a guy, one of those interior guys that, like Matt Abuike, that mm-hmm. gets double-digit sacks, I think this defense can do that for you. Now, it's not everything, but if you have the right mixture of a great athlete like Leo, who is just huge. I mean, he's 6'5", 320 pounds. He's the size of any offensive lineman, and yet he's got quickness. So it'll be cool to watch him play in this defense.
Well, here he is talking about why he's so excited about playing for Macdonald.
I mean, I just love that he's a defensive-minded coach. I mean, he clearly had the top defense in the NFL last year. And, playing for a defensive head coach really excites me. I'm playing for a guy that knows that, games are won on the defensive side of the ball. And that's how I think. I think we have a great offense. I think we have explosive playmakers, and I trust that side of the ball. But from any defensive player, I want them to think that we're going to be the ones that's going to win the game. And I think, Mike kind of shares that same mindset.
And we'll hear it from Devin Witherspoon here in a second, but I'm curious, because I've got two guys in mind as an answer to this question. But who do you think on the defense, and I'm playing it forward that McDonald's going to have something similar to what the Ravens did, it's going to be a big improvement defensively. Who do you think individually, is there a player you look at and go, this guy's going to benefit from what McDonald's bringing to the table here?
Yeah,
I've got two guys in mind.
To me, Julian Love, I think it's going to help him a lot. I would say Witherspoon, but I don't think he needs help.
No.
No, but I think him, and then, maybe Daryl Taylor. Maybe Daryl Taylor starts to really understand. He's got a flamboyant, I just caught a example of it, very flamboyant personality. Yeah, I was walking the halls down there looking at everything, and there's DT and they're singing and everything. Yeah, he's and remember we had who was the one player that was like, yeah, he doesn't listen to anything or something.
Oh, that was Bruce Irvin.
Bruce Irvin, yeah.
Who said it with a smile. It felt like a joking but serious statement of he could be great if he'd ever learned to, I'm paraphrasing, but basically if he shut his mouth.
Yeah, Daryl Taylor, you can see that he can be coached. There were times, and ironically, it was in the Baltimore game last year where I was watching the film on the way home, and I'm like, he's taking on the running plays like a pro. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's buckling guys. He's seeing the guard coming. I mean, he's reading it. His eyes are good. He's low, everything. And then it just kind of disappeared. So I feel like if you give him some sort of guidance, basically, he can turn into it. He's a really good athlete.
He was one of my guys that I said. The other guy, Tariq Woolen. Because Woolen had the great first year. Last year, we're all going, what happened? This doesn't look like the same guy. So I think anybody we're looking at is an uneven player who's shown, man, they've got the ability. They've got there's no debate about the skill this guy possesses. Both of those guys fall into that category for me. There's no debate. I mean, Woolen was a Pro Bowler his first year. I don't know what happened last year. I don't know if injuries played part of it, the defense, if you listen to Uchenna, it doesn't sound like people were very happy with how things were going. So I'm looking at somebody who's been uneven, but clearly possesses ability and athleticism. And for me, it's Daryl Taylor and it's Tariq Woolen.
Yeah. Julian Love, I think, I didn't think very much athletically of their safeties last year, but they made a lot of plays. And I think Julian's a really good athlete. I mean, the pick he had against Philadelphia, getting his toe down and everything. I mean, this guy just, he's just a football player. So I feel like if he gets direction, because he finished really, really well at the end of that season, but it was only, like, the first part, he was only playing 70% of the time. So you get him involved, give him more direct sort of instruction, I feel like he can maybe become a Pro Bowler.
Quickly, before we hit the break here, I just want to hear from Devin Witherspoon talking about what he's looking forward to on this defense under McDonald.
Yeah, I look back over the year and see the stuff that I can improve on, the stuff that I did well, the stuff I didn't do well. So when you look back at over the year, it's exciting because I had a good year, but it could be a lot better. And then that's what Coach keeps telling me every day. He's like, you had a good year, but you got so much more potential, and I can't wait to exploit that. So.
I like that. Yeah, you were good last year. You could be better. You could be a lot better. And I like that he's like, yes, yes, I can. So that's good to hear. I'm excited to see this defense with McDonald in charge and how different it may look.
Spoon was good as a, you know, Pro Bowl player. But as far as a rookie goes,
he was really good.
And unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anybody look so comfortable their first year.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fantastic. He was great. All right, coming up, more has come out about Bill Belichick's failure to land a coaching job, and it paints an interesting picture about the changing nature of the NFL. We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, John Schneider will join us on the program for the John Schneider Show. How about that? Aptly titled. He'll be with us here as we are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. You guys can text in, as we said, throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Interesting stories coming out about Bill Belichick. First of all, he's going to be doing some broadcasting with Pat McAfee. For the NFL draft coverage. And he reportedly signed a deal with Omaha Productions, which is Peyton Manning's company. So the idea of him being behind the mic is a unique one, because we've seen how he performed behind the mic as a head coach, and that was not very well. So I'm going to assume he'll be a little more gregarious. He'll be lighter. He's not being peppered with questions about his team and his philosophy or what happened in his game. So maybe we'll see an entirely different side of Bill Belichick. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, you know what? I saw him on the Pat McAfee show the other day, and he was really good. I mean, I think he's an interesting guy. The only thing, and I was listening to Bump and Stacy on the way down here. Bump's like, come on, man, you got to smile more. I'm like, no. When he smiles, it's creepy. It's so weird, and it looks
sinister.
Like, it looks like his face is going to crack is what it looks like. So, no, seriously. He does. It really is. It is kind of like an evil genius grin.
I don't know that I've ever seen him smile. But does he, when you saw him in that setting, did he have more energy? Was he had to be better than, we're talking about the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the Jets.
It was like he was talking to one of his friends, basically. And, you know, and I read the book, Education of a Coach, about him, and totally admire that guy. And, you know, and the things that he says in that book, you know, you can kind of see, well, he's not just this stoic man that, you know, sits there and snarls at everybody. He's actually really a thoughtful guy. And I thought he did a really good job. It was very interesting. And, you know, a couple of the questions, like, I thought, oh, that's a good question for John. Drafting at the end of the draft every year, because New England was so good. You know, just like the Seahawks, they have a long run where they're going to the playoffs or they're going deep in the playoffs, and you're picking with number 30, number 29, number 28. So, but yeah, he was very expressive, talked about, you know, his thoughts about that. And, you know, you just never know what's going to come to you, you know, when you're at that position. Lots of really good insight. So I'll be curious to see how he does. But the smile thing, man, is like, oh,
smile.
It just so foreign for him. Like, I think he maybe needs to go practice for a little while before he goes on.
He's just sitting in front of a mirror working on his smile.
Yeah.
And I sent you an article last night. It's not on here. Lefko sent a different one. But it's basically just talking about his inability to land a job. And it looked like his best shot was with the Falcons. He met with Arthur Blank. The story I said was about basically Robert Kraft getting in Blank's ear saying, you don't want to deal with this guy. You know, just to paraphrase, like, this you can't trust him. He's going to be a pain in the butt, blah, blah, blah. And like, essentially talking him out of it, which I thought, all right, well, who's the jerk here? Like, for years, I've been, Belichick, I can't stand him. But then in this situation, I'm looking at it going, all right, Kraft, you guys may have ended on less than great terms, but I guess to go to that extent to inhibit his ability to find another job somewhere, he brought you 6 titles, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a lot of success with this guy, and it's not just him, certainly is Brady and everything else, but I don't know. I thought that was another one, much like the pictures being taken down. I was kind of like, I'm not sure how I should feel about this. I felt conflicted because I've not been a Belichick fan as an individual, yet in this particular moment, I was kind of like, well, screw you, Kraft.
Yeah. Well, I'm the latter. I think that's ridiculous that he would do that. And, you know, they probably would have made the same choice that they did with Raheem Morris. But because I just didn't see Belichick starting over somewhere. And I think it takes a long time for people to get used to his personality and everything. So I didn't think that was going to happen anyway. But, yeah, Kraft dogging him, you know, saying that, you know, he can't be trusted. Yeah, I don't. That to me is unwarranted. I'm glad for Belichick just because I feel like he can bring a lot of insight. He's going to have a lot of really interesting stories. I mean, if there's a guy that you've wanted to know more from over the years of, you know, his winning streak going back to 2000, that's the guy. I mean, mm-hmm. If he can, and I think he's really good. And just from what I saw anyway, it was one interview with Pat McAfee, but he fit right in. He was just like any other coach that was taught or that they talked to or an athlete or ex-athlete, whatever. So I think he's going to have a lot of really interesting things. And, you know, he's one of those guys that could probably go out and go on the road and, you know, do like corporate speaking engagements just because he knows how to run an organization. That's for sure. But I think it's going to be really interesting to hear from him.
It is weird that we even in talking about how much you didn't like who he was after games and post-game press conferences.
I really hated that.
Yeah, he wasn't likable. He just wasn't.
Immature by him.
Yeah.
That's what you sign up for. That's part of the job, and he would kind of pout and whine through it. So that part I very much disrespected. But
even in that, we'd always acknowledge, all right, yeah, he's probably the greatest coach of all time. If he's not, he's in the top 2 or 3, certainly. So it's weird that, you know, you look at a guy who, and that's not just an us thing. That was sort of a universal feeling about him, whether you thought he was a jerk or not. Nobody debated his coaching prowess. And yet, even despite that reputation that is shared by just about everybody, his options at best were limited, it seemed, and then basically limited to just the one team almost with the Falcons.
And then he's got his owner coming in and telling him not to sign him. I mean,
yeah, it's sort of weird for somebody who's viewed that way with such high regard, yet there weren't teams going, get that guy in here. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. And he's available. And we're a team that needs a coach. And yet there seemed to be very little to almost no interest in him.
Yeah, well, that part does make you think. I mean, if he truly wanted to be a head coach. Now, maybe that's something, I mean, that's one of those things that you either have to be all in or not. If you want to go into the NFL, for example, I interviewed to be a scout at one point back before I got into media and went. It was great. They loved it. Everything. They called me and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to kind of check around and just see what's going on with my family and stuff. And I could just hear the door close. Just boom. That's it. There's nothing there that will help us. You know, you have to be all in as far as the NFL goes. So maybe he said a couple of things in those interviews that, you know, maybe was led people to believe that he's not as committed as he used to be. Mm-hmm. But for his owner, give him 333 wins and 6 Super Bowl trophies and you go and undermine him like that. That's now maybe it's not as bad or this article is blown up as far as what went down, but he also called him arrogant. I mean, it's really bad. I'm entirely on Belichick's side for this one. I feel like Kraft really did him wrong.
Yeah, I'm just reading it says, but in a conversation with Blank, Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character, according to a source who spoke with two people close to Kraft. Kraft friend and longtime Belichick confidant. Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. Multiple sources said Kraft spoke with, quote, some candor about Belichick, and basically saying one source close to Belichick said Kraft was, quote, was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring him. So, listen, and maybe everything he was telling Blank is true, but it just, it was an odd move. It just,
very strange.
And it really made me, it put me in an awkward position because it made me sort of defend Bill Belichick, and that's not natural. All right.
How dare they put you in an awkward position?
I know. They should have thought of me before getting into all of that. Coming up, we are 1 week away from the start of the NFL draft, and Seahawks president of football operations and general manager John Schneider is going to join us next for the John Schneider Show live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.